Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Brendan Escott with you the rest of the way. Second hour of the show brought to you, as always, by World of Spas. Aching after a long day, World of Spas offers tubs designed with your relief in mind. Rest, recover, relax with World of Spas. Alberta's number one swim spa dealer. Visit worldofspas.com. We will, we'll be busy over the next hour. Got three guests, if you include Reed Wilkins, who, of course, has Inside Sports about an hour from now. We'll find out from him what is coming up on that program. The Oilers are set to finish the preseason schedule tomorrow night on 6:30 Ched, 7 o'clock puck drop. Seattle Kraken, the opponent. I would suspect we'll see the top couple of lines, top power play unit anyway. Figured they would want one final dress rehearsal, I would think. We'll find out what Louis DeBrusque thinks momentarily. You want to get in touch with us? You can do so on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. River Cree Resort Casino. Excitement. Bet on it. That number again is our Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted at Ashley. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. Okay, a little bit of Oilers news. Did we get to this off the top of the show? It was pretty minor, but Brady Stonehouse of the Ottawa 67s has earned himself a contract with the team, an entry-level deal after being brought into Oilers camp as an invite. Simple, just come on and show us what you got. Well, he did, and they liked what they saw. Lots of times when you're a right shot, you've got maybe a leg up in terms of that sort of thing. So the Oilers taking advantage of that. We bring aboard Sportsnet's color analyst, Louis DeBrusque, brought to you each week by GCL Diesel, providing service, genuine diesel parts, and turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. Louis, how's it going this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent, thank you. So I don't imagine you had a real long look at Brady Stonehouse, but were you surprised to see the team hand out an entry-level contract to a guy that was a camp invitee?
Always surprised when that happens, but that's a good sign, right? That's a good sign that someone's come in and obviously caught the eye of management and coaching staff, and I think that's what you're always trying to find is players that surprise you and come in. There's a reason they invited him to camp. There's a reason that he was in that camp, and obviously congratulations to him for signing his entry-level contract. So, it's difficult to stand out in that environment, but obviously he did, and he gets rewarded.
Yeah, he, as a right shot winger, had 37 goals last year. I'm trying to find that stat for sure. But, you know, you get up over the 35 mark and you start turning some heads. He's entering his third season and will be obviously playing in the minors once more. But this is the route that they're going to have to take, Louis, to supplement the minor leagues because they're not picking very high in the draft these days.
Yeah, good point, and that's what you have to do. You have to find players in different avenues, and that's exactly what they've done. Also, the scouting report on him, he plays with grit. He's got some sandpaper to his game. He's feisty, and you have to be. He's not the biggest of guys, so when you're not that big, you have to have a big heart. You have to have the ability and the mindset and desire to get to a tough area and fight for those pucks and usually fight off bigger guys. It seems like he has that in his game, and that's what they saw. So congratulations, and you know, this is how it starts. You find players, you bring them in, and you like what you see, you give them a contract and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, Brady Stonehouse again. One of 16 Ontario Hockey League players invited to Hockey Canada's Program of Excellence, the summer meetings that sets them up for this upcoming World Junior Championship. So a chance for the Ontario native to potentially represent Canada. Now, Louis, we've seen some Oilers in the last couple of nights. We think that are probably going to be representing the team. I mean, a long look at the first unit power play, and it did get a long look last night. A 7-2 victory overall. Got to chat with Zach Hyman in the walk-off interview. He didn't really seem super excited about things. What did you think the power play looked like with another chance out there to get fresh?
Just fine-tuning. You know, for me, it was just fine-tuning, and they look sharper, no question. I mean, early on in the preseason, they were trying some different things, different positional spots for different guys moving around. You didn't see Dreisaitl taking that shot too often, but last night you saw him release that shot a few times. And every time he's there as that target and that dangerous player for that one-timer, look what happens. It's Connor McDavid that walks down again, goes name-tagging in, which is a play that he's starting to become really dangerous with. And he's tried it a bunch of times now. He's scored a few times on it. And it's, for me, it's because you have to respect so much what he wants to do with the puck. He has a couple options. You have Zach Hyman in front of the net, who's planted there soundly, can ricochet a puck off of him. He's got Dreisaitl backdoor. He's got Nugent Hopkins in the bumper. There's a ton of options for him when he goes from high to low in the zone and looks across. There's dangerous players that are in position, and if they're taken away or if they want to be a little bit stingy in that regard, he has shown that he's obviously got the ability to walk right in and score himself. A career last year, and he made it look pretty easy. That's not an easy shot, but it's something that he's very, very capable of doing, and now it's become a dangerous shot himself, and I'm sure you're going to see them trying to lean out on him a little bit, and when they do that, they'll make a pass. So that's why the power play has been so dangerous for years with that nucleus of players that they've had and played together, especially the three abroad, Nugent, Hopkins, Dreisaitl, and McDavid. But now with Zach Hyman in front, they did try Evander Kane there a little bit earlier in the preseason. He's going to get some looks there probably. But for me, Evan Bouchard, too, was a little bit more shooter mentality on a couple of the power play, started to release that shot and started to get it going. And I think sometimes early in preseason, you're just trying to go through the motions and move the puck around, find different things, but they seem to be a little bit more determined, and I expect them to sharpen that up as they head into the regular season.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
4-2-1 with one game left. It's tomorrow night against Seattle here on 630 CHED. We're chatting with Oilers color analyst Louis DeBrusque for our friends at GCL Diesel. How about Connor Brown last night? That had to have felt so good for him. A couple of goals, a helper flying around out there with McDavid, who set up the goal as well, by the way. So he's as boat. He's proving to be so far as good a fit as everyone hoped.
He really has, and I know there was obviously a little bit of a question mark coming into the camp. How's his knee? How's his strength? How's his conditioning? But I've been really impressed with his skating, actually. I actually think he's skating better than I remember him skating. And, you know, he's always been a good skater, but I think he's really put the work in, it shows. And excellent on the forecheck, great stick, you know, really turns over a lot of pucks. And anytime you have a player on the line with either McDavid or Dreisaitl, right now he's playing with Connor McDavid, I think it's a real nice fit. The more you can turn the puck over, the more you can get at the hands of each other, start to move that around the offensive zone, good things happen. He's got a great defensive conscience, too. It's not just about the offense with Connor Brown. Connor Brown is a hard-playing winger that goes up and down. He's backtracking, stealing pucks, excellent penalty killer. I mean, there's a lot of boxes that he checkmarks, and why he was such a good pickup for the Oilers in the offseason, and good to see him start to find his game. Always good to see the puck go in the net. You know, it doesn't matter if it's exhibition, if it's pond hockey, it doesn't matter. When you see the puck go in the net, you start to feel confident, and that's what this is all about, working towards the start of the regular season Wednesday in Vancouver.
I imagine that Raph Lavoie has felt a little bit of that as well. We'll get there in a second, but Connor Brown specifically mentioned Louis post-game last night that he's been feeling some chemistry with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, sees that as a potential penalty-killing pairing even. Now, Jay Woodcroft never won to show his cards, so he would never commit to something like that, but I like that those two players who seem to be two of the better ones at thinking their way around the ice. We know Nuge is, and Brown is proving to be the same. I really like what that means for this team.
Yeah, I agree. And I heard that interview as well, and it makes total sense to me. I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, the longest tenured Oiler. This guy's been around. He's played with a ton of different players, can play with anybody because he's so smart. Knows where to go, has the ability to adapt to what he has to, can also be a driver. So you put him in a situation, especially in a penalty kill, it's reaction-based. It's reaction off of one another, where you're going, your lines, your routes. But both of those guys willing to get in shooting lines as well. It's nice to kind of hear Brown talk about, you know, having that chemistry with someone, and two guys that aren't only good defensively and shutting you down the penalty kill, but can be dangerous offensively too. If they do get that puck, they'd be willing to attack. And I think that you're seeing penalty kills like that now more than ever, where when you get that puck, instead of just dumping it down the ice and killing it off, which seemed to be the mentality years ago, it's let's skate up the ice and attack a little bit. You've got offensive players on the ice, typically one defenseman in most power play systems. It's an opportunity for an outnumber rush potentially, or a rush on a forward who's playing back as a defenseman. So why not try it? And I think that also opens up the door for both of those guys, and anyone that's killing penalties for that matter, to look for a counter strike from time to time.
It's a nice litmus test when you can look back on the box score and see 19 and a half minutes, give or take, for Connor Brown leading the Oilers forwards. So you tell me whether or not that knee is coming off a major surgery, because it doesn't seem like it, and it seems like the team is also confident in where it's at based on that deployment last night.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I think that's part of it, too. They want to make sure he's up and running, he's feeling good. How does it feel the next day? Looked good on the ice today. Did have a little stumble, but I don't think it was anything major. It was just a fall down on the ice. But, you know, anytime something like that happens, you're always going to look at it a little carefully, but I don't think it was anything. I think he just was in a battle, and the practice was intense today. So I think, you know, to get those reps. Every single player wants to dig in, wants to feel that lung capacity, wants to, you know, feel the lactic acid and burn in the legs, because you feel better afterwards. It kind of gives you a greater depth of endurance to be able to go out there and play harder. You have to kind of burn through it at some point in time. For Connor Brown, it's not like he hasn't played minutes before. He's been elevated minutes throughout his career. But it's a good sign that he's playing that much. And I think also maybe for Jay and the coaching staff, they wanted to test him out a bit too. They wanted to put him out there and really get him up and running. And I think it's going to take a little bit of load off of Zach Hyman. You know, when I look at it this way, Zach Hyman plays a real heavy, hard game. And it's really hard to do that for 82 games in a row. It's really hard to compete at that level. And I think what we saw even last year a little bit, there's some fatigue there. Everybody's fatigued when you get to the playoffs and you start digging into series, and they won the first round, they go into the second. It was a conference final the year before. Those are taxing rounds that really take a lot out of you. And I think the game plan this year for the Oilers, you know, from what everything that people have said and from what the coaching staff has preached, I think they want to utilize more players here. They want more players to kind of pull on that rope a little bit more on certain nights. If a guy's really going, they're going to give him some more ice time. Obviously, they felt Brown was really going. They wanted to give him more ice time and see how he could handle it. And I think that's going to be the game plan throughout the year. The more you can take off of McDavid, Dreisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, you know, Kane's going to get elevated as well, I think, this year, because he has the capacity to do that. So they've got some real weapons up front, but I think they want to distribute it throughout. And if everybody's pulling on that rope, they're going to be a very difficult team to play against.
We've got Louis DeBrusque on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Joins us for our friends at GCL Diesel. Raph Lavoie, as mentioned, he had the goal last night, which had to have felt really good for a guy who has been needled at for his entire pro career now. Defensive hockey, use that big frame, you know, get physical, etc. He says, man, I'm a shooter. So when I can get out there and shoot and do my thing, that's what I want to be able to demonstrate. He got a chance to display that last night, but also I thought he was physically noticeable as well.
I agree. It was one of the biggest things that I noticed. He threw a couple big body checks, and I think that's really important. You know, I talked last week about Fogle, same thing. When you're in the bottom six, and I was there my entire career as a fourth liner, I was expected to hit, bang, crash, fight. I'm not saying that he's expected to fight by no means, but he's got the frame, the speed, and the size to be able to go out there and be physical. And that's one of the areas that we're going to be keeping a close eye on, obviously, this year to see if they have that depth in that regard to be able to go up against some of the bigger teams in the conference and in the league. But I liked it. I actually liked the fact that he was running around. A couple conversations after the whistle, you know, guys coming up and having chats with him. Guy smacked his stick right out of his hands one night because he was in front of the net, and that's where he knows he has to go to be successful. So I love the fact that he said he's a shooter. I think it's really important for players to understand what they do well. I think we talk a lot about what they need to work on, but I don't think you could ever lose sight of the things that they do really well. And you have to always kind of rely on that when you get those opportunities. And there was one play, I know Bob mentioned it on the telecast last night, that there was an opportunity earlier in the previous game that he played with Connor McDavid in Vancouver where the puck came back to him and he dished it back. You know, he gave it back to him. Now, it's really hard not to defer to Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or any of the older vets on the team when you're a young guy. But as time goes on, you're going to see him get that puck loaded up and pick a spot and take the shot. And he'll find out that the other players on the team will love that. When they give you a puck in a good position, they want you to shoot the puck. It's very difficult to overcome that because mentally you just want to put it back into the hands of a great player. But at the same time, you have to have ownership in what you do well. And that's one of the things he really does do well. He shoots the puck heavy. He scored a couple nice goals here in the preseason. He's gotten himself to the spot, which is half the battle, making sure you're in that right spot at the right time. But I like the confidence that he's talked about, saying that he's a shooter, and I'm sure they're working with him every day about that. When you get to the spot, you get your chance. There's no better stick for it to be on than yours when you're in that spot.
Only just turned 23 a couple of weeks ago, former 38th overall draft pick who's going to make just under $875,000. Do you think for that reason, and I'll say it in addition to this, I don't think anybody in the forward group has really come forward and snatched the final available position. You know, I like what Lavoie did last night, but it hasn't necessarily been consistent. I think Lane Peterson has probably been the best of those couple of guys that are battling for it, but how much of the required niche is he going to fill? And he's a little easier to send down to the minors as well, potentially. So how do you see this shaking out, if you're willing to offer us that opinion, Louis?
Well, I agree. I mean, I do believe Peterson has come in. He scored another nice goal and a breakaway, nice pass by King. I think they want to give him the opportunity. They didn't bring him in and sign him to the deal they did for them not to give him the opportunity. That's a position of need. Ryan McLeod obviously hasn't played an exhibition game, and that's a big factor in it too because he's slotted to take that third-line center, which I think is his spot, and he's earned that. Looked pretty good on the ice today. We'll see if he gets into the lineup tomorrow night. I don't think Jay addressed that today, but it would be nice to see him get into a game. But for me, Peterson's the guy right now. But Lavoie is very interesting. And again, he has to clear waivers to go down in the American Hockey League. And I think that's really important because when you get to that stage, that's when teams have to start making decisions on players. And they might not want to lose a young talent like him. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg with a young player like Lavoie, who really came on strong last year and scored a lot of goals down the stretch, started to find that confidence. He's got a big frame that can shoot, which is rare in this league. And, you know, for me, it's going to be difficult for them to pass on him here and not allow him to at least start. That's just my thinking on it. I think that you're going to see him probably find his way into the roster. They do have one more game, and as Jay always says, they have time, they're going to use it, and we'll see what happens in the next 48 hours after that game and then when they have to get under the cap and be ready for the season at the start of next week. But it's interesting. It's certainly good to have these competitions, though, I think. I think any time you have players that are battling right down to the last preseason game where you're kind of juggling, oh, well, we could take this one, is it this one or this one? That's a good sign that players have come in, they've come in ready, and we'll figure it out. But I would want to be making those decisions. For me, I think I'd want to keep him around, just see how he does. Maybe even try him on that third line. I know that it's been the Holloway, Fogle, McLeod has always been the rumblings of what that third line is going to look like. But I even said today to Jack, I said, you know, he might even get a shot on that right side. Right-handed shot, you've got three lefties there right now with Fogle playing on the right side, Holloway on the left. But why not a right-handed shot? Maybe Fogle goes over the left, if Holloway goes down, or Fogle goes down, Holloway stays in the left. Whatever way they want to make that pairing, would be interesting to see how he can roll with those players. But I'd like the body of work. I think it's gotten better throughout camp, but there's still decisions to be made here. It'll be interesting in the direction they go.
Without a doubt, Louis. Looking forward to chatting with you next week when things begin for real, but enjoy that final exhibition game tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. Louis DeBrusque, Sportsnet color analyst, brought to you on this show by GCL Diesel, providing service, genuine diesel parts, and turbochargers at great prices for over 50 years. Visit GCLDiesel.com. Brendan Escott in with you the rest of the way here on Oilers Now, which is back after this. He's been so all over the place, I'm forgetting what I got to do, which is to inform you what's going on around the rest of the NHL with NHL Today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, your local branded merchandise specialists. Head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Preseason action continuing. Three Canadian teams taking to the ice. The Maple Leafs hosting the Red Wings at Scotiabank Arena, and the Winnipeg Jets welcoming the Ottawa Senators to Canada Life Center. See, if I was accustomed to this time slot, I would have had these scores up and ready to go, because I imagine these games are well underway, if not just about bloody well over at this point. Yeah, in fact, it's 3-2 Toronto, and where are we at in that other one? Scoreless. There you go. Oilers wrap it all up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on 6:30. Chad, Flames are getting a new arena. We heard about this. $800, imagine $800 million, the price tag. Calgary Mayor Jody Gondek says that preliminary deal announced in April for that $1.2 billion event center entertainment district, it's been finalized now. So basically it divvies up this way. The Alberta government commits $330 million for area infrastructure and to cover half the cost of a community rink that will be attached to this one. And the City of Calgary will put in $537 million, the Flames ownership group, an initial $40 million, and then $17 million per year over the course of a 35-year lease. That is the meat and potatoes. Oil Kings, they are back home to host Prince Albert on Saturday, and the Golden Bears with a home-and-home series that we'll tell you about coming up after this next newscast. And Ian Herbers of the Golden Bears will join us.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.